and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Taylor and Thomas, who are in Land of Our Fathers. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
So, what is Land of Our Fathers all about?
Basic kind of outline is six Welsh miners, well, five Welsh, one Polish, stuck down a mine, landslide to begin with, stuck down there, and it's about the relationships, how they deal with, you know, rationing, being confined in a small space with each other.
The timeline is 1979, so it's just before Thatcher's been inaugurated, so just, you know, they're counting her votes, so we don't know what's happened. We've been to the polling stations that morning, so it's imminent, the imminent doom, if you will, if you're Welsh, but maybe you don't think it's doom when she does come in. And we're all underground and we get stuck, so we don't know what the outcome is happening on above us, and we're stuck.
Okay. Although that being quite a minor... excuse the pun. Being quite a minor fraction of the play, isn't it?
That's yeah. Kind of,
so it's not so much focused on the political aspect?
No, or the era. In my opinion, it could be set any time. It's about the relationships and being stuck in this confined space and how they deal with each other.
It can straddle any sort of era because it's just about men, essentially, and how they behave in that work environment and how the struggle of what it is to be a man, in an old-fashioned sort of sense, in the blokey bloke. You don't, you know, one of the lines is, men don't talk about their feelings. That would be pointless.
Yeah.
So it's unravelling the idea of what it is to be a bloke, I think.
But then they are forced to obviously talk about feelings and stuff like that and sentimental things to them, which is the nice thing about it. You wouldn't normally hear this.
It's quite sort of straightforward theme. Is it a dark comedy?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd say so.
It's written with a lot of humour. You'll laugh and you'll cry.
And yeah, it was just on the basic timeline of it being, you know, initially being trapped on a mine, you know, feelings and spirits are quite high, so therefore that's where the comedy comes from. But after being down there a little bit longer and longer and longer, it starts to get darker and darker and darker as time goes on, I think.
And you find that most people who work in industry and, you know, labour, they generally have a lot of giggles and a lot of laughs in that sort of pressurised environment where they all work. So it's all banter, basically. The writer, although he's not Welsh, has captured what it is to have the Welsh. It feels totally authentic.
Yeah.
And at the start of the play, there's quite a lot of singing. How was that?
Easier for me, not so easy for Taylor.
Tom's a bit of a singer. He likes to have a little sing. But yeah, no, I think it's just to show it's a brief moment that happens at the start of the play, and it's just to try and capture what these guys do outside of mining and the kind of the pride that, you know, these Welsh men have. And quite a lot of the time, especially me growing up, and I'm a lot younger than these characters would be, even I growing up, I'd go to church on a Sunday and sing hymns with my granddad and my grandmother, you know, and it's kind of showing that, isn't it, I think.
Yeah, the male voice choir aspect, that all the valleys, you know, that was the thing that kept the communities together, even during the strikes and during through famine, essentially, man-made famine. They still survived through their faith in the chapel, in the hymns, and just the community ethos that it creates, which isn't there so much anymore.
Mm. That was probably about that time, 79, when it started kind of going out, because you had like the kind of the punk movement down there. You've got some of the miners talking about this punk movement. You know, saying, you know, let's sing some of these songs, whereas you've got the older cast, you know, the older miners
traditional
going, no, we'll stick to hymns, you know, this is what we do, we're Welsh and we sing hymns. Whereas, yeah.
You two play brothers in the play.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into character? Or how did you develop your characters?
I don't know, it makes it a hell of a lot easier if you get on with the person to start with. That's first and foremost, you know. And it does happen. There are occasions where you don't, you know, get on with certain cast members or what have you, and it's just luck of the draw, really.
We've been very unlucky in this one.
Yeah, unlucky. I don't like it. No, I've been very to really get on with Tom first and foremost as a friend, which then makes it a hell of a lot easier to work closely with someone, especially to show a brother relationship, the affection that you need to have with one another. If you get on as, you know, two human beings first, it's pretty hard. But so yeah, I'm just thankful for that first and foremost, and then the work we've done separately, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the writing's good enough that all the scenes are set up, so as long as you play it proper and you get on with the person, it's easier, obviously.
Yeah.
Then you can bounce off each other, and luckily Taylor's phenomenal, so it's easy. Really?
Thank you.
Yeah.
How did you master the Welsh accent?
I am from Cardiff, so it wasn't that much of a stretch.
Yeah, that much of a strong
but
accent.
No, but I'm not from the Valley, see, so if I can talk like that, but I went to school with a lot of boys who spoke like that.
Did you think
I knew, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell straight away.
I was
but
good,
yours
yeah.
is more subtle.
Yeah.
So did you find it difficult to then produce this?
He's ashamed of it.
No, it's beautiful. It's like putting on a cloak. It's gorgeous. It's nice. It's nice to stretch it out. But I mean, I'm a Cardiff boy, so we never spoke in the same manner that they do. We sort of arch rivals, Taylor and I, because he's a Swansea boy and I'm a Cardiff boy.
Yeah, it's quite a famous rivalry.
Yes.
So they often don't want to sound like each other. But it was easy enough to tap into because I've been grown up around them.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. I've lived in London now for a while, so it's hard for the accent to stick.
He's got his interview voice on as well.
I've got, yeah.
He's as well.
Yeah. Usually I'm Northern Irish. But.
Cool. And how do your characters react to being trapped underground?
I think for our relationship, we're driven to, you know, to speak the truth, basically. And I've got a lot of things on my mind, in my head, before we came down this mine, that I wanted to tell my brother and wasn't able to. So being trapped in the mine pushed me, and you know, that kind of tension allowed me to then explain to my brother how I felt.
Mm.
And likewise as well, I think.
Yeah, for me, for Curly, he has to confront a lot of fears that he wasn't being honest with himself about, really. And it's like that bottleneck tension, and there's a lot. The play opens with very high stakes for Curly anyway, so he already has to confront his issues, should we say.
They don't quite know whether they're going to, you know, what the outcome of this is going to be. So, you know, you say exactly how you feel.
Because you might not ever get another chance.
You might not get another chance, yeah. It's quite deep.
How do you think you'd react to being trapped underground?
I'd probably scream as loud as I can for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Cry. And then give up.
I think in much the same way as those boys, really, just trying to make the best out of it. You can.
You can't imagine it, though, can you? Like, you
it's very hard.
You can't imagine that feeling, like, just to be trapped where no one can hear you. And it's just, I can't imagine it at the moment.
It's poignant as well, because it's happened to quite a few people, obviously. And we were in the big pit, the mine down in South Wales, and there was a guy from Swansea who said it happened, something similar to six miners in Swansea, down a mine. But they were in a much smaller, we're portraying it with like a 7 or 8 foot roof, but they were under 4 foot. So, I mean, these guys were just on their hands and knees day in, day out. And then water came in and ended up killing them all. So it's very moving to be a part of something that, you know.
I think there's just a new film coming out as well. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called 33. Yeah, it's about the Chilean miners. It could be worth a watch.
Going back to sort of miners in general, the miners' strike is a topic that's been explored quite a lot recently in theatre and in film.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in Land of Our Fathers there's any foreshadowing of the miners' strikes to come, or any reference to the miners' strikes that have been?
Certainly. I think they would be naive of any of them, really, apart from one of the characters, Mostyn, who's his first day down the mine, but everyone else is aware of the perils of what's happening to all the unions and what's happening, the movements that's happening in the UK at that time. But some people are more paranoid or perhaps on point than others. And my character, Curly, definitely is very hypersensitive about what is the outcome will be if Thatcher is the Prime Minister. And he can't fathom it. So, yeah, it's interesting to think about that, because there's a lot of people, obviously, who thought that she wouldn't make it in. And, you know, it's obviously history now, so we're all used to it. But it must have been a horrific shock to those boys who are passionate. And
why do you think, as a theme, it's been explored so much recently?
Because the Tories are back, and they're chopping us all to pieces. And soon we'll all be raging on the picket line again for something, because the money's not getting distributed.
How long have you been involved with Theatre 503?
I think just a little before October 2012.
What's it like as a theatre company?
Brilliant. It's great. I mean, I've only worked on this one play with him, but, you know, it's just done so well. And, yeah, it's a great theatre company. Yeah, but I've worked on this one play with him for 3 years, and it just keeps going.
Wow.
So, yeah, so.
Have you always played the same character?
I have, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Wow.
Eventually,
okay.
In 20 years' time, I'll probably play someone a bit older.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm still managing to pass for...
Thanks to Clinique.
Thanks to Clinique Moisturiser. I'm doing really well. It's a brilliant fringe theatre in London that's producing great work at the moment. And not just this play, other plays that are also transferring to the West End. It's a great theatre.
How's the production changed throughout the years?
Absolutely, with new cast members coming in, that's the immediate change. And you get used to a certain cast doing it, and then a new cast comes in and it shakes it up a little bit, and you think it's just going to work, and then all of a sudden, that's the only cast you know then. Mm. But for me, it's exciting, that new challenge, different cast members coming in all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's cool. So, after Land of Our Fathers, what's next?
Who knows?
Exciting.
It's quite hard in our line of work. The turnover of jobs are so quick, so if we go for a casting, maybe 3 days later I'd probably start, or a week later I'd start filming. So we've got another 2 months left in this contract, the last 2 weeks of that contract, we'll start auditioning again and then hopefully start knowing what our next job will be,
People find it a bit irritating and irksome if you go into auditions now and then they're like, we want you, and you say, no, I'm still contracted for two months. It's not a clever move, so yeah, we'll see.
Exciting.
But it's the year of the monkey, isn't it? Chinese New Year, so it's going to be a good year, I think.
Well, for everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.